All right, ready to dive into something interesting.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, so today we're looking at a court case
Okay.
all about crop insurance and what happens when a policy's fine print, you know, all those little details,
Right.
clash with what farmers actually do out in the fields.
Interesting.
Yeah, so picture this. You're a tobacco farmer in North Carolina.
Okay.
It's 1973. And heavy rains have just, I mean, just wiped out your entire crop.
That's awful. Devastating.
Totally. So you file a claim with your crop insurance.
Right.
You're hoping to, you know, recoup some of your losses.
Of course. Makes sense.
But there's a catch.
Okay.
And this is where things get kind of interesting. Before the insurance adjuster can come out and actually assess the damage,
Right.
you do what any farmer would do. You start prepping the field for the next planting. You till the soil. You plow under a, you know, all those soggy tobacco stalks.
Just trying to make the best of a bad situation.
Exactly. But here's the twist. Your insurance policy, it has a clause, you know, a little bit of fine print that says you can't destroy those damaged crops until after the inspection happens.
Whoa.
So the insurance company, they see those plowed under stalks
Huh.
and they're like, nope, sorry, you violated the policy, claim denied.
Oh, wow.
So is the farmer trying to pull a fast one,
Right.
or was this just, you know, standard farming practice? That's what we're going to unpack today.
I'm interested to hear this.
Yeah. So we're using a case from the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals.
Okay.
It's called Howard v. Federal Crop Insurance Corporation. It's a mouthful,
Yeah.
but we'll just call it Howard v. FCIC for short.
Much easier.
So much easier.
Yeah.
This case, it really kind of hinges on understanding the difference between a couple of key legal terms.
I was going to say, there's got to be some legal nuance here.
Totally. Yeah. So we got to talk about a condition precedent
Okay.
and a promise in contract law.
All right. It sounds a little technical, but I bet it's more relevant to our everyday lives than we might think, right?
Absolutely. These terms, they're at the heart of so many contracts we encounter, not just, you know, these complex legal battles.
Makes sense. Okay, well, let's start with the basics here. What exactly happened in this Howard v. FCIC case?
Okay, so the Howards, there are tobacco farmers.
Okay.
They had insured their 1973 crop,
Right.
but like we said, they have some serious rain damage, like a potential loss of over $35,000.
Oh.
Huge. They filed the claim, of course, but then, and here's the issue, they plowed under those damaged tobacco stalks before the insurance adjuster could get out there and inspect the fields.
So the insurance company is basically saying they destroyed evidence.
That's their argument. They're crying foul, yes.
That's where this condition precedent versus promise thing comes in.
That's exactly where it comes in.
Okay. All right. Well, break it down for me. What's the difference?
So think of a condition precedent as like a must-do, something that absolutely has to happen before something else can occur. It's like a domino effect, right? One tile has to fall before the next one can.
Okay.
In this case, the SCIC, the insurance company, they're arguing that leaving those stalks standing for inspection, that was a condition precedent to getting paid.
So no stocks, no money.
That's what they're saying. Like if the Howards didn't meet that condition, no insurance money, no matter what.
Wow.
That's their argument. Now, a promise is different. Think of it more like an agreement to do something.
Okay.
You know, you're obligated to fulfill it. But if you don't, it doesn't necessarily void the whole contract.
Okay.
There might be consequences. Maybe you have to pay a penalty or something, but it's not like automatic game over.
So the stakes are a lot higher with a condition precedent.
Much higher. And the court, they really had to examine, okay, was that no destroying the stocks clause in the Howard's policy, was that truly a condition precedent as the FCIC claimed?
Right. So what did they decide?
Right.
They sided with the Howards.
Wow.
Okay, they basically said, look, the insurance policy, the language wasn't clear enough to establish a strict condition precedent.
Okay.
And there's a general principle here with insurance contracts. They're typically interpreted in favor of the insured,
Oh, interesting.
especially when the wording is kind of ambiguous.
So they gave the farmers the benefit of the doubt.
You could say that, yeah. And there's a legal principle at play here. If a contract is unclear, it's usually interpreted in favor of the person who didn't write it,
Okay.
which in this case would be the Howards.
Yeah, makes sense.
So the court is basically saying if the insurance company wanted to make that, you know, don't touch those stocks, a deal breaker, a you absolutely cannot do this or we don't pay you, they should have made it crystal clear in the policy.
I see. Yeah.
The court actually cited a key legal principle here.
Oh, okay.
They said, and I'm quoting here, "When it is doubtful whether words create a promise or a condition precedent, they will be construed as creating a promise."
Okay.
Interesting.
So how do we apply this promise versus condition precedent thing to something, you know, we can all relate to?
Yeah, good question. I was just thinking that.
Okay, so imagine you hire a contractor to renovate your bathroom.
Okay.
Let's say the contract, it says they promise to finish the job within 4 weeks.
Oh.
But let's say they run into delays and it takes them 6 weeks.
Right.
Okay, is that a breach of contract?
Well, yeah, technically.
Technically, yes. But does it mean you don't have to pay them anything?
Probably not. I mean, you might be able to negotiate a discount.
Right, exactly. You might be able to negotiate a discount for the delay. But the whole contract isn't automatically void.
I see. Okay.
Now, what if the contract had said finishing the bathroom within 4 weeks is a condition precedent to you making that final payment?
Oh, yeah.
If they miss that deadline, you might be legally justified in withholding that final payment.
Hmm.
Even if the delay was due to things outside of their control.
So in the Howard's case, the court decided that plowing under the stocks was more like, you know, like a broken promise.
Uh-huh.
Than a failed condition precedent.
Right. Okay.
Now,
yeah.
To kind of illustrate this, they actually use examples from the restatement of the law of contracts.
Oh, wow. Getting into the textbooks here.
We are. They used illustrations 2 and 3.
Okay. What can we learn from those?
So they give clear examples of these, you know, promises versus conditions precedent. Illustration 2. It talks about an insurance policy with a clause.
Mm.
About submitting disputes to arbitration.
Okay.
So, you know, if there's a disagreement, instead of going to court, you agree to go to arbitration.
Yeah.
But it's worded as a promise. Yeah. You know, the parties agree to arbitrate if there's a disagreement. But it doesn't say failing to arbitrate means you lose all coverage.
I see. So it's more like a guideline, not a, like, deal breaker.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, this is how we prefer to handle things, but you're not totally out of luck if you don't follow this exactly.
Gotcha.
Now, compare that with illustration 3. This one. The policy states that the payment for a loss shall not be payable until 60 days after the award of the appraisers.
Okay.
So here, getting that appraisal, it becomes a condition precedent to getting paid.
I see.
You can't get the money until that appraisal happens.
Okay.
So one is an obligation, the other is a hard and fast rule.
Gotcha. So the court used these examples to show that the language in the Howard's policy, it wasn't strong enough to be a condition precedent.
Right. Not that you absolutely cannot do this kind of language.
So did the Howards win? Case closed.
Well, not so fast. The court's decision, it didn't automatically mean they won. It just meant that plowing under those stocks didn't automatically void their coverage.
Oh, okay.
However, the insurance company could still argue that this action, you know, made it harder for them to assess the loss.
Oh, so they could still end up with nothing.
It's possible. Yeah, and the court actually sent the case back to a lower court to determine if the FCIC, you know, the insurance company, was actually harmed because of those plowed under stocks.
Wow, so the fight's not over. It's just shifted to a new battleground.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, what was the FCIC's reasoning for wanting those stocks to remain standing? Like, was it really that crucial for their assessment?
Well, they argued that they needed to inspect the stocks to, you know, accurately evaluate the damage and rule out any causes that weren't covered by the policy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, disease or pests.
Yeah.
Things that weren't weather related, you know.
So they're saying it was about preventing potential fraud?
That was part of their argument, yeah.
Okay.
But the court also considered, okay, was this requirement truly essential?
Yeah.
For the FCIC to do its job? Or was it just kind of a convenient way to potentially deny claims?
Interesting.
Right, because, you know, insurance companies aren't exactly known for being, like, overly generous.
I was going to say.
But here's the thing. The Howards were facing conflicting advice.
Right.
They had the insurance policy telling them one thing, but then they had agricultural experts advising them to plow the stocks under to prevent the spread of pests and diseases.
Yeah.
So how's a farmer supposed to navigate that?
That's a great point. They're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Totally, yeah. And it highlights these challenges that farmers can face when they're trying to balance, yeah, you know, good farming practices,
right,
with the sometimes very rigid requirements of insurance policies.
And it makes you wonder, did the insurance company even know about these other recommendations?
Mm-hmm.
Were they just totally out of touch with, like, the realities of farming?
It's a valid question. I mean, we don't know for sure. We don't have access to those, internal discussions.
Right.
But it does raise some concerns about how well insurance policies align with the practical needs of the people they're designed to protect.
I see. Okay, so just to kind of recap here.
Yeah.
The court decided that plowing under the stocks didn't automatically mean the Howards lost their coverage.
Right.
But the FCIC could still try to prove they were harmed.
Exactly.
And the case went back to a lower court to figure that out. What a cliffhanger.
I know, right?
Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see what the final outcome is for the Howards.
Yeah. I'm definitely curious to see how it all plays out.
Me too. Welcome back. We're still digging into the case of the Howards, those North Carolina tobacco farmers who plowed their fields, before the insurance guy got there.
It's a great example of how, even little actions can have big legal consequences, especially with insurance policies.
Right. It really makes you think twice about, skimming through those contracts without really understanding what it all means.
Yeah, for sure.
So even though the court sided with the Howards on that whole condition precedent thing, it's not over yet, right?
Right. The case went back to a lower court.
Right.
And the insurance company, the FCIC, they can still try to prove they were harmed by what the Howards did.
So it's still a nail biter for our farmers. But I want to kind of zoom out for a sec.
Yeah.
And think about the bigger picture. What does this case tell us about how courts handle these insurance contracts?
Well, one of the big takeaways is that courts, they often interpret insurance policies in favor of the person who's insured.
Correct.
Especially when the language is kind of vague. It's like they're saying, hey, insurance companies, you wrote this thing, so it's on you to make it clear.
So if an insurance company wants to make something an absolute rule, like you cannot do this no matter what, they better spell it out. Plain and simple, right?
Absolutely, yeah. The Howard case, it really emphasizes that point. The court basically said if the FCIC wanted to make leaving the stocks standing a non-negotiable thing, they needed to be way more clear about it in that policy.
It shouldn't require a law degree to understand your insurance policy.
Exactly.
But this case, it also brings up the whole idea of legal precedent.
Right.
So how might this decision affect similar cases down the road?
Well, the Howard decision, it could definitely influence how other courts interpret, ambiguous language in insurance policies, especially ones dealing with crops and stuff. It adds to kind of the body of case law that helps us figure out, how contracts work.
So the impact, it goes way beyond just this one case.
Definitely. It's part of a bigger conversation about how we interpret and use contracts in all sorts of situations.
That's pretty significant. So we talked about the legal side of things. Yeah. What about the practical lessons? What can people listening to this take away from the Howards experience, even if they're not farmers?
I think the biggest takeaway is just the importance of reading contracts carefully, especially those long insurance policies that we all dread. You got to understand what you're agreeing to, what your rights are, what your obligations are.
I know. No one likes reading the fine print.
I know, right?
But sometimes you got to do it.
It can be really important. And if there's anything you're not sure about, just ask. Ask the insurance company for clarification or even talk to a lawyer. It's better to be safe than sorry.
Yeah, for sure. But what if you're in a situation where you have to do something that might go against a part of your policy? I mean, what if those tobacco stocks, what if they were infested with some horrible pest? And if the Howards hadn't plowed them under, it could have spread to other farms. What then?
That's a great question. I think that highlights the importance of documentation. If you have a good reason for doing something that's, that might be against the rules of your policy, make sure you keep a record of why you did it.
So taking pictures, keeping notes, things like
that. Exactly. And if you can, get something in writing from an expert.
Okay.
Like in the Howards case, maybe an agricultural extension agent.
Wow.
Someone who can back up your decision.
So if it does end up in court, you've got proof. That you were acting in good faith.
Exactly. You want to be able to show that you had a good reason for doing what you did.
This all seems really relevant, even if you're not dealing with crops, and insurance adjusters and all that.
Oh, for sure. I mean, this case, it's not just about tobacco farming. It's about contract law in general, about insurance, about understanding your rights as a consumer, whether it's your car insurance, your homeowner's insurance, even a simple service contract. The stuff we're talking about today, it applies to so many things.
So it's not just about crops, it's about contracts.
Exactly. And in a world where we see contracts everywhere with all this fine print, it's more important than ever to be informed, to know your rights, and to stand up for yourself.
Knowledge is power.
Yeah.
Especially when you're dealing with with insurance and all those legal agreements. But I gotta ask, what would happen if the Howards hadn't plowed those stocks under? Could they have gotten in trouble for not following those, you know, the best farming practices? We'll explore that when we come back for the last part of our deep dive into Howard v. FCIC. Well, Gam, you know, before the break, we were talking about how the Howards were stuck between this rock and a hard place. Leave the stock standing, you know, for the insurance adjuster, or plow them under to prevent pests and disease from spreading.
Yeah, it's a tough spot for any farmer.
Right.
And it makes you think about how we balance the needs of, you know, businesses like insurance companies,
right,
with fairness and clarity for consumers, okay, like the Howards.
It seems like those interests, you know, the insurance company's interest and what's best for the farmer, they were at odds.
They were. And it makes you wonder if the people who write these insurance policies really get what farmers deal with every day.
It's like they've never even been on a farm.
Right. It highlights the need for more communication, you know, between industries. Insurance companies need to understand farming, and farmers need to understand, you know, what's in their policies. Everybody wins when we're all on the same page.
Totally, yeah. Maybe this case can spark a conversation between the agriculture world, you know, and the insurance world. But what about our listeners? What can we all learn from this, even if we're not farmers, you know?
This case, I think, it reminds us to be proactive, you know, understand our contracts, advocate for our rights, don't be afraid to ask questions, get clarification, push back on anything that seems unfair or confusing.
Because it's those little details,
yeah,
you know, the fine print we all hate reading.
Yeah.
That can have a big impact.
Like, really can.
Yeah.
And the Howard case, you know, it reminds us to be informed consumers and to hold businesses accountable for creating contracts that are, you know, that are clear and fair.
That's a good point. Before we wrap up, I want to leave everyone with one final thought. You know, in this world, with all these contracts, all this fine print, it's everywhere. How can we be sure that we're really getting it? You know, that we understand our rights, our obligations?
That's the million-dollar question, I think. Maybe by demanding more transparency, more accountability, you know, we can create a system that works better for everybody.
That's a great point. So on that note, we're wrapping up our deep dive into the Howard v. FCIC case. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Always, always great to explore these kind of thought-provoking topics.
Absolutely.
Until next time.